It is time for the July edition of Mondays with Mike. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Wisconsin Public Radio's director, Mike Crane, is here to talk about special July 4th programming, upcoming trips with WPR hosts, a few upcoming events celebrating WPR's 100th birthday, and whatever you want to talk about. We will take your comments, your questions, your feedback about all things WPR related at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Mike Crane is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio and he joins us in the studio. Good morning, Mike.
It's great to be here.
It is great to have you here. Listeners may be wondering why you're not here every first Monday of the month. One thing we changed recently is that we share you with Central Time.
Yep.
So you are not on the Joy Cardine Show every first Monday of the month. But you were not here for a couple of months. Tell us what happened.
Yeah, it turned out I had a heart attack and that followed with open heart surgery and kept me out of work for a while. And I feel very lucky to be here that I responded to, frankly, a pretty vague sense of what I read in the symptoms. They called it an impending sense of doom. And I felt some pressure in my chest that didn't go away. Ironically enough, after having had a similar feeling a couple of times in the spinning classes that I go to, you know, the indoor cycling, and then this particular Sunday, the feeling didn't go away. I started looking up the symptoms, and sure enough, it was time for me to go to the emergency room and get fixed up. So I have new plumbing now, and I'm back to almost all of my regular activities. I was out kayaking this weekend in the Cherokee Marsh, which was beautiful, and sailing and biking and so on. And so I feel incredibly lucky and to be back here at this wonderful place.
Well, we are incredibly lucky to have you back as well. And I have to say that thank you for sharing your experience. That impending sense of doom symptom is one I had not heard of. And now I think that you will help others by describing that. It's just sort of something's not right, and
yeah.
I think something is terribly, terribly wrong.
That's exactly right. And and I mean, I was sort of okay. I walked into the emergency room, but they did these tests that immediately indicated that I had a mild heart attack. And fortunately, it looks like the damage to my heart muscle was minimal, if at all. And so I can be back to all of these activities at this point. And the thing I would say, because I'm a learner, you know, public radio fan, of course, I like to learn. I would say that it's important for people to know that the signs are often vague. You don't always have that, you know, the clutching of the chest or the sweats or the pain down the left arm, all those things that you read about. I had none of those except this sort of soreness and the impending sense of doom, and I'm very glad I responded.
Yeah, and you are really someone, Mike, who very athletic. You watch what you eat. You're a boater. You're a biker. You're a kayaker. Mm-hmm. I mean, so you also just you never know.
Yeah, well, you never know, and I would say a few things of the many I learned. My cardiologist said, you know, an awful lot of this is just genetics, and it does run in my family. And another very serious risk factor, in addition to some of the things I've wrestled with over the years, I'm type 2 diabetic, that kind of thing, is simply that I'm in my 50s.
Yeah.
And that is just a point where everyone in your 50s, I think you should be vigilant about dealing with that. And Joy, you probably know this, may have covered it on this show, but the other thing is that the signs for heart attack for women are often different. And so figuring that out and being alert to what's going on with your body is a big deal.
Well, welcome back to Mondays with Mike, and we are welcoming your questions for Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Mike Crane joins us. Or Mike Arnold joins us, usually the first Monday of every month, to talk about Wisconsin Public Radio and to answer your questions and to respond to your feedback. So, Mike, tomorrow is the 4th of July, and that means that we do have some special programming on Wisconsin Public Radio. What can we expect?
Well, here on the Ideas Network, we'll have the annual 4th of July version of the Capitol Steps special, Politics Takes a Holiday. And that's at 1 o'clock tomorrow. And for those of you who may not know, they're a comedy troupe from Washington, D.C., whose motto is, "We put the mock in democracy."
Party hard.
And so they sing these parody songs. They are willing and able to skewer everybody on every side of the aisle. And it's always a lot of fun. And that's tomorrow at 1 on the Ideas Network. On the NPR News and Classical Music Network, Norman Gilliland will play a selection of American music from the 18th through the 20th centuries from 11 to 1 as part of our celebration of the holiday.
And as we are talking about programming, I also wanted to get an update on WPR Next, our in-house effort to try to come up with some new shows. Over the last couple of months, WPR has aired pilots of 4 new shows: Because Science, Beta, Entertain Us, and Wisconsin Life Weekend. We talked with Mike Arnold about these shows, and we actually heard some clips from the shows on a previous Mondays with Mike. So now that piloting phase is over, what's next? What kind of feedback have you been hearing from listeners?
Well, we got a lot of wonderful feedback, and in fact, it's still possible, if you'd like to listen to the shows, to go to wpr.org/next and listen and send us some comments if you're interested. Basically, what happens now is that we move to a sort of a phase 2. We take in all of that feedback, and we make some decisions about what might happen next. And that could really range. You know, maybe this is something that ought to be a podcast for WPR, which we're starting to really dig into these days. Or maybe it's an occasional special, or it needs another pilot to kind of test out some different ideas around that idea. Or it may even be that it's a segment on Central Time, or a segment on To the Best of Our Knowledge, whatever it might be. And so the programming team, with Mike Arnold, the chief operating officer and head of content, they're talking about those sorts of things right now. And I expect in the next couple of months we'll have some announcements about those ongoing steps.
Yeah, and just in general, as I know, final decisions have not been made, but I did see on our listener log, some listeners, in particular to the NPR News and Classical Music Network, were wondering why Fresh Air was not being heard. And
yeah.
You don't have, these were piloting during this time. There is no plan to replace Fresh Air.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. Fresh Air is very popular, and the challenge you always face when you put anything new on, even the Politics Takes a Holiday that we'll have on tomorrow, is that it takes away what's normally there. And so we do so with trepidation, because we know how much listeners enjoy the predictability of the shows that they really tune in for. And we want to expose people to new things. And, you know, if we just stayed where we were in terms of programs, we'd still be doing, and some would like this, we'd still be doing Let's Draw and Ranger Mac and Journeys in Musicland and all the rest. And we have 100-year history of changing with the times, as well as being solid and always focusing on that service to our state.
Well, speaking of our 100-year anniversary, it is our centennial year. We have been celebrating all year long. But we have still more special events coming up. What's next?
We do. Well, actually, before I answer what's next, I just have to dish a little bit on the wonderful event we had in the atrium at Lambeau Field. Mark Murphy had us there and hosted us in that beautiful space. And for WPR fans, perhaps the most wonderful moment was after the show, which we recorded. I went back up on stage, and I had the opportunity to present Larry with a Lambeau shirt, or, you know, a Green Bay Packer shirt that said Mueller 50 on it.
Aww.
Because Larry celebrating this year, 50 years on the radio with WPR. He actually precedes when we called it WPR. And just a thrill to honor Larry. He got a standing ovation, no surprise. Mm-hmm. And he was very touched. And I had the opportunity to mention, too, and I imagine it's been talked about here some, but Larry was inducted into the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame a few weeks ago, and it was just wonderful to honor him and hear his stories about how he basically had no prospects and ended up with a job in radio.
Yeah.
And you know how Larry talks, and it was really great.
And very, very humble, too, that
yes.
He has been now. In fact, Larry has spent 50 years on the airwaves on Wisconsin Public Radio, and as Mike mentioned, just recently inducted in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Hall of Fame. He is, by the way, going to be a guest on Central Time this afternoon during the 4 o'clock hour and during the 6 o'clock hour. You can hear Larry talk about his career and what he's enjoyed most about his life in public radio. So that's don't miss that.
Well,
yeah,
and I mentioned that because that was one of our 100th anniversary celebrations that we had.
Right, at Lambeau. So it was celebrating the Green Bay Packers and the legends of the Green Bay Packers and Wisconsin Public Radio's legend of Larry Mueller.
So. Exactly right.
Yeah.
So still coming up, we have just two wonderful events coming up in Door County and in Bayfield. They're both the 9XF players performing The Canterville Ghost by Oscar Wilde, an old-time radio drama live. And so Norman Gilliland will be there. I'll be there. The show is going to be at the Door County Community Auditorium in Fish Creek on July 22nd and at Big Top Chautauqua in Bayfield on August 12th, part of our celebration of our centennial year. And the big wrap-up for the centennial year, and I hope we'll have a lot of people joining us for this, is in Madison on October 14th, Saturday evening. It's an evening exploring the power of story, featuring NPR host Ari Shapiro, among others. It's going to be a fun evening, and that's at the Overture Center, so we'll have lots of seats available. We encourage you to check it out at WPR.org/100.
All right, so if you have any questions about Wisconsin's past 100 years or next 100 years, you can call in at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. Or if you have some questions about WPR programming or fundraising or operations or special events, we welcome those during this, the July edition of Mondays with Mike. WPR's director, Mike Crane, is with us, answering your questions and responding to your feedback. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is Mondays with Mike. I'm Joy Cardine, along with Wisconsin Public Radio's director, Mike Crane, who is here to talk with you about Wisconsin Public Radio. Welcoming your questions about anything related to Wisconsin Public Radio or your feedback at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Don in Eau Claire is with us. Hi, Don.
Yes, good morning. My question is motivated in many ways by self-interest. I'm 94 and a half years old. Cognitively, I'm in good shape, but physically, I'm handicapped and I'm forced to go to bed at 8 p.m. in the evening. During the week, the hours from 8 until 11:30 at night are in many respects filled by Canadian Broadcasting, which provides excellent programs that I enjoy very much. But the weekends are just a bummer. I've listened to enough old-time radio and stuff in my long lifetime. And to listen to Hop Along Cassidy, Jack Benny, last night, Buck Rogers, and some other stuff like mm-hmm. that is, I know those things are probably dear to Norman Gilliland's heart, and I have every appreciation for Norman Gilliland. I think I'm not detracting from him personally. But except for one interlude on Sunday when you provide music from the top, from 8 till 9. The late hours on both networks are really bummers.
So I guess he's heard enough old-time radio. Mike, a response?
Sure. Thanks, first of all, Don, for listening so heavily. It's wonderful to know that we're able to keep you company as you're staying up after hitting the bed. And I'm sorry that the some of the stuff isn't that pleasing to you. Ironically enough, and you're right, this material, the old-time radio drama, is extremely dear to Norman, but it's also one of our most popular shows. We have a very high percentage of radio listeners who have their radios on at those times tuned in to WPR, and I can't remember the numbers off the top of my head, but for me, one of the most interesting things is as really oldie-moldy as some of these things are, Fibber McGee and Molly or whatever, a lot of young people are fans of it as well. And that might surprise us, but that kind of precious, I think, because we like to hear stories, is why a lot of people tune in. So not sure what to do as far as suggesting an alternative for you, Don, but I do really appreciate the thought and the fact that you like the CBC stuff during the week. That's great.
Excuse me for not remembering this, but Old Time Radio Night is not, or is it, simulcast on both of our networks?
It is not.
Yeah, so the alternative could be what's on the other network.
Yeah. And so that might be worth a try.
Yeah. Don, thanks very much for the call. If you have some praise or complaints about what you hear or don't hear on Wisconsin Public Radio, we have an open line for you at 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. This is our once-a-month opportunity between the Joy Cardine Show and Central Time for us to question one of the head honchos at Wisconsin Public Radio. WPR's director, Mike Crane, is with us to talk with you about Wisconsin Public Radio. And Ron in Manitowoc is with us now. Hi, Ron.
Well, thanks. Good morning. I'm concerned about the quality of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're hearing more music on talk shows, and we're hearing so much about the quality, but yet quality, I believe, is deteriorating. Even now, the Larry Mueller show, an excellent show, is starting to be infiltrated by musical interludes. And if one does the math, I'm using 7 times per hour on the 3 hours in the morning show, 4 seconds for music each time. I'm coming up with 6 hours a year, which is not being used for questions and answers. Thank you.
Well, thanks, Ron, for the comment. You know, interestingly, this idea of music interludes goes way back on WPR. And just recently, we received some really wonderful discs from Jim Vagley, the son of Don Vagley, our longtime music director, called Buttons and Bridges.
Oh, yeah.
And Don was the music director, and before he created those CDs using a synthesizer right here in our right down the hall in our studios, he created that for all of public radio. He had been doing it for many, many years, playing piano, and believe it or not, he was playing the WHA organ. There was a literal pipe organ and then later an electric organ in the studios at Old Radio Hall. And Don would just improvise or play tunes he knew as interludes during the various programs. And Ron, I do understand your concern, but part of what's going on is that there is a need for us here in the studio to make a variety of transitions. Sometimes it's as simple as the next guest is coming in and you've got to get them in, and so we'll play a music interlude or a button there at that time. Sometimes it's because something went crazy, and my favorite stories about that is that NPR came to call the buttons, which is one of the names for the music. Their story was because it was hit the button. and so they would play the interludes. And I think perhaps my favorite NPR sound name was they would refer to the bleebles And the bleebles were the string of similar or even the same notes that would run until someone fixed something. And you'd hear, say, during All Things Considered, blink da blink da blink da blink da blink da
bleeble.
Blink. Yeah, that was the bleeble. So that's the story with those. I'm not sure that they've really changed all that much over the years. Maybe they have. But those are the purposes of those. And, you know, there's actually a web program called All Songs Considered that specifically arose because people were always asking, well, what was that music that I heard in between?
All the time,
song?
Yeah.
Different strokes, yeah. Right? And so appreciate the comments, Ron.
And I understand what Ron is saying, too. In some cases, the music, even if it is just 4 seconds, isn't necessarily taking away from an interview with a guest. For example, at the very top of the hour on this show and on all of our talk shows, and for that matter, on Morning Edition or All Things Considered, you hear that little bit of music, mm-hmm. which is... some people also identify, oh, it's time for All Things Considered because they heard that song. But you're just doing the what's coming up on the program, and you have a little bit of music underneath you as you're just describing what's coming up on the program.
What I really do like about Ron's concern, though, is the desire to have as much opportunity
yeah.
to speak with our guests as possible, and we do try to maximize that, and I really appreciate your caring for that aspect, Ron. So thanks for the call.
1-800-642-1234. If you have some feedback for Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, you can also send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We had busy lines, but now callers have dropped off, so there is an open line for you. It can be on what you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio. It can be about special events. It can be about fundraising. It can be about transmission or technology issues. Fair game. All is fair game. John in Hustisford is with us. Hi, John.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. I was listening, and I heard the comment about things you like or dislike about the public radio, and I am a sustaining member, and I love public radio, all the fun shows, of course, Larry Mueller, and I love the Canadian one, the Canadian NPR, listen to that on the way home. My comment is on the reverse of that. I'm kind of miffed that I hear so many lopsided political things against our president, and I'd like to express my point in that he's voted in, and I'll give 100% that he's way the most different president we've ever had. I like that, and I'm a little bit almost to the point of saying, why am I a sustaining member when I keep hearing all this stuff that just is bashing and bashing and bashing? I know that there's hundreds of thousands of good things that he does, and he's involved in so many charities that they're hard to list. And I think that it would be great if NPR would look at the other side equally as they look at things that are issues that the news is gathering up and running wild with.
Yeah. Thanks, John.
Thanks for the comment, John. I think that the thing that you've expressed that's very clear is there are a lot of people, they're your neighbors, that share your views. And one of the things that we try to do here at Wisconsin Public Radio on the Ideas Network especially is to try to reflect just a whole broad spectrum of views. And so to the extent that we ever fall short of that, and sometimes we do, we really try very hard to get to where we believe we should be, which is, first of all, straight down the middle. That public radio's belief very deeply is that the solutions to the problems of our nation, our communities, they might come from anywhere because there are so many smart and dedicated people that have an interest in making this a really great place to be. And so we do try to do that. And so we monitor things. We certainly share those sentiments you've expressed with NPR periodically, as well as talking about it constantly here at WPR.
Yeah. And, John, I do appreciate that. I can't speak for NPR and news coverage from NPR, but I can certainly speak to the effort we put into finding guests who do support what President Trump is saying or doing or his policies.
Yeah.
And we do have those guests on as well.
Well, and one thing that certainly happens with news coverage with every single president and Congress and state legislature and all the rest is that whoever's in power, there tends to be a lot of questioning of whatever they're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
And we've seen that on all sides over many, many years. And that we really do believe that's the place that journalists would want to be, not really on one side or the other.
Yeah. Thank you, John. Peggy writes, I know others have said this, so I'm adding to the chorus. Please consider replacing Q, which is on weeknights at 9 p.m., with another program. While I appreciate many things Canadian, this program is not one of them. A rebroadcast of Joy's or Kathleen's program would be a good interim or permanent replacement. Also, she says, the show Ask Me Another is so simplistic, it's embarrassing. I would hope the millennial audience this show is targeted toward is smarter than this program. Well, what about that?
Well, you know, one of the things that we have certainly found is that a program like Q, to mention the first one, is more sort of pop culture oriented. And in our effort to try to have a broad spectrum of things that people might be interested in, because we don't just say in our mission that we're going to inform, we also say we'll entertain and educate and inspire and all the rest. A program like Q seems to be an appropriate choice within our schedule. And because it's really very pop culture oriented, some people just don't like it. And I think that's the same with Ask Me Another, that it is a very light show. It's just a quiz show and relies upon sort of the cultural literacy of a younger group of people than many of our listeners currently are. Although we do have a lot of millennial listeners, and the show is one of our most popular. So that diversity of viewpoints of our listeners does make sense. I would expect that we might find that.
Let's go to Louise in Richland Center. Good morning.
Good morning.
What do you think?
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about weekends. I absolutely love Sundays. Saturdays after Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is over, not so much. A lot of repeats are things that aren't as interesting. One thing that I've noticed, I hear the promos for some of the evening shows like Reveal and Snap Judgment, more story-based shows. I don't tend to listen in the evenings, but boy, if some of those would show up on like a Saturday afternoon, I would love to hear those. Sundays, like I said, is a dream come true. Saturdays is kind of a black hole for me, and that's a time when I would be listening all day long.
Louise, what's your favorite on Sunday?
That stretch of, to the best of our knowledge, through This American Life and Radio Lab. And I remember that, you know, Radio Lab used to be on Saturdays. I kind of miss the TED Radio Hour. I'd love to hear Moth. Just some of those more story-based shows on Saturdays, to my mind, would be great.
Oh, great. Thanks for the comments. Some of those shows, and Moth is actually a very good example, is something we really don't feel we can broadcast on a Saturday or a Sunday afternoon, because sometimes the topics are a lot more adult oriented, mm-hmm. and so on. And so that's behind our choice. But I like your thought about story-based programs, and we're always looking for new things out there. And glad to know Sunday at least is something that you really enjoy. Thanks for the comments.
Thanks very much for the call. Next, Judy in Verona. Hi, Judy.
Hello. The gentleman called in and mentioned classic radio, and I look forward to Saturday and Sunday night especially. There's nothing on television, and it's, oh boy, it's 8 o'clock. I get to go turn on Radio Classics, and it's a great unwinding time for me. I can just lay back and relax and
Yeah, so there's a fan of old-time radio, and that is, that's the way it goes sometimes, Mike.
Judy, you've exhibited what I call the programmer's dilemma, because almost anything we do will have people like yourself who love it, or people like, I think it was Don that was the earlier caller, and didn't like it. And so the job is to try to figure out what the vast majority of people will like at any given time. And it is the dilemma of a mass medium. It's one of the reasons why we're all very excited here at WPR about the opportunity of podcasting, because you get to make up your own radio station if you're listening on your device. And it was interesting to see in the news the other day that an awful lot of older people are now getting their news from their mobile devices. So it's not just a young person's phenomenon anymore. And part of what we think about a lot as we enter our second century is to be there too, because we do think that the things that WPR provides are wanted more than ever. Even if it's not directly on the radio, if it's in some other audio device, well, that's great. We want to be there too.
Let's briefly touch on Wisconsin Public Radio has some exciting job opportunities. This is one of my favorites, Mike, and we mentioned this once before on the program, and people were calling and calling to find out more information. We're looking for a new reader on Chapter a Day, Wisconsin Public Radio's longest-running program. So how's that search going?
Yeah, I'm not privy to the actual details of the search, but you are right. Interest is very high, and we have some specific needs. We think that our group of readers needs to be more diverse, and therefore the literature that's chosen more diverse, and so we're really focused on that in the job posting. And you can find out a lot more about that at WPR.org/jobs, where you'll also find some other jobs open. And we do find mentioning it on the radio is often a way to have someone who already loves WPR and has the skills, for instance, of our opening for a director of core engineering to help us make sure all the gear here works. That's available as a job, and also an online news producer job is open, and more. So you'll find those at WPR.org/jobs.
And our job now is to take your calls and questions for Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, who is here for the July edition of Mondays with Mike, where he answers your questions and responds to your feedback. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is Mondays with Mike on the Ideas Network. This is Mondays with Mike. I'm Joy Cardine, along with Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and we are welcoming your questions and your feedback for him about all things Wisconsin Public Radio related. I meant to ask you a little bit about Wisconsin Public Radio's budget and fundraising, Mike, before we run out of time. This is July. It's the beginning of the new fiscal year for the state of Wisconsin, but the state of Wisconsin does not have a new budget in place because lawmakers are still debating education funding and transportation funding in particular. So what does this mean for Wisconsin Public Radio?
So in the long run, of course, there'll be a budget that's passed, and we'll know for sure how Wisconsin Public Radio stands in that budget. We have a great deal of optimism that it will be what we think it is right now, which is in two parts. One is that we have funding that comes through the University of Wisconsin, and it looks like some of the funding there is more than in the previous biennium, so that's hopeful for us. And then it looks like basically a flat budget for the Educational Communications Board that is the other part of what makes up WPR and WPT. So if the budget is signed with those intact, that'll be great. We'll be thrilled to go that way. In the short run, and you've heard this in our newscasts, nothing much happens. That basically last year's budget, last biennium's budget, continues to be the guide for spending and income and so on. And so in that sense, in the short run, we're not too worried. Very different from some of the stories we've heard of some states which go into partial shutdowns, things like that. That's not the way our state works.
And what about on the federal level, just generally, is public broadcasting still on the chopping block?
Well, certainly in the president's budget, it has been nearly zeroed. There's a little bit of money in there basically to shut down the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And it looks like Congress is inclined to continue flat funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which provides funding to the stations around the nation. So we'll see. It looks like it's probably a ways away, perhaps several months before we'll have a final answer on that. We do have a lot of friends in Congress, always have, and on both sides of the aisle, which is always very encouraging because of what we said earlier about wanting to be straight down the middle if we can. And so knock on, I guess this is Formica, under my, knock on Formica, it'll be okay on that front too. And we certainly do talk to our congresspeople and senators as we're able to encourage them to continue to support us.
Yeah. Well, besides our pledge drives and our direct mail campaigns, Wisconsin Public Radio has some different ways to try to raise some funds, including canvassing door-to-door. Tell us how this is going, Mike. This is kind of new.
It is new in the last 2 years for us. Wisconsin Public Television has been doing it for a bit longer, and honestly, we looked down the hall and saw how successful canvassing was for them and thought we should try it as well. So the story is that we have multiple ways of doing our fundraising. There's the pledge drives. There's the mail reminding people to renew. There's the sustainers, like we had our sustainer caller before mentioning our sustainer program, the monthly online giving. And canvassing turns out on a cost per dollar raised to be less expensive than direct mail. We were all very surprised by that because people, they might not like getting the direct mail pieces necessarily. But we thought, wow, they must respond to those. Well, they respond more to that really nice young person knocking on the door and saying that they'd like you to become a sustaining member. And I think that the reason is severalfold. One is that it is an opportunity for busy people to encounter a real human being who's going to talk to them, not just something yakking on the radio. And they're busy, and this is an opportunity for them to do that. One of the things we really studiously try to do is if someone is already a member, we might leave a hang tag on their door, but we don't knock on their door. So we really are looking for people that aren't supporting currently. And it's a pretty limited thing. It's just in a couple of neighborhoods as we're experimenting with it in this really our second year of doing it. So we'll see if it is a sustainable fundraising method. But the fact that it's less expensive per dollar raised than direct mail says, yeah, this is probably a method, even though it's one of the oldest methods, that will stay in our arsenal.
And we raise a little bit of money, but we also make a lot of friends with WPR travel opportunities. I know that there's something new with Our Wisconsin. We are traveling Wisconsin as well as the world. Tell us about
that. Yeah, this is with Country Travel Discoveries, and it's a trip to discover the Driftless region, which is the southwestern part of Wisconsin. And that should be a lot of fun and maybe a lot more affordable than some of the bigger trips. And we want all kinds of people to travel with us. We have had, over the years, for instance, a very successful bus trip to go up to Big Top Chautauqua. And that bus trip is actually taking place that same weekend as Old Time Radio Drama is going to be at the Big Top. So I'm looking forward to meeting people there. And I know Norman is as well and the whole 9XM player crew. Can I mention one other trip too? Mm-hmm. The hosts, Ann Strainchaps and producer Steve Paulson of To the Best of Our Knowledge are going to be leading an East Coast journey. That's a boat journey, stopping in Boston, in Maine, in Quebec City, in Montreal, and more. And all of that's something you can discover more about at wpr.org/travel. And I should say, you're right, we do make a little bit of money. There's a donation made by the travel company to WPR for those trips. And then sometimes we make great friends that become major or planned givers that, make very significant dollar donations in the future. And in any case, we just make friends. It's just I had the opportunity a little more than a year ago to go on one of those trips to South Africa and really, even on a personal level, consider those folks to have become, in many cases, good friends and definitely good friends of WPR, as was very evident in all the conversations we had.
Yeah, and more travel opportunities will presumably be hatched and for next year.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. There's talk of a trip to Northern Europe. That sounds pretty exciting. Another boat trip in Europe as well, and more. And we'll post those at that WPR.org/travel as those become available.
I'm Joy Cardine with Mike Crane. Mike is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the July edition of Mondays with Mike. And our lines are full, so let's go to Jan in Viroqua next. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I'm Joy. My question is, how do you assess the popularity of a show? What measures go into that? Is it letters, or do you have a way of telling how many people are tuned in, or how does that work, please?
Oh, great question, Jan. Thank you so much. There are a number of ways. Of course, you won't be surprised, given listeners like you and everybody who's called today and written. We have very engaged listeners, so we do have a lot of letters and phone calls to our audience services group, and just responses. Even people will make a pledge, and they'll write a comment on the pledge form saying how much they love or hate something. So we get a lot of just sort of casual input that way. We also periodically do member surveys so that we find out more about what our members are thinking. And we do use what's now called Nielsen, used to be called Arbitron, as a sort of a ratings thing that will tell us the general popularity. So, for instance, if you hear us say that we have nearly 500,000 listeners in a week, we found that out by using the Nielsen survey. And with the exception of the very largest cities in the country, it's a quarterly survey, so it takes a while before you know too much about any one program. But in cities like Milwaukee, the biggest cities in the country, I think it's the top 50 or so cities, there's a sort of an ongoing ratings using what they call the portable people meter. And so you can find out a little more quickly what's going on there. That's how we gauge the different things.
Yeah. And just briefly, Mike, because I don't know if listeners realize this, I don't think we're supposed to be tooting our horn too much, but Wisconsin Public Radio, both the NPR News and the Classical Music Network and the Ideas Network, are experiencing historically high listening from our listeners, and we know that through this the ratings.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and I think there are at least two factors going on there. One is the news is fascinating, you know, from whatever side you're on, and it has been so for quite a while. And the other is that, you know, we really are, and this is a national thing, we're focused on trying to sort of execute on the basics, which is to let you know about the shows that are coming up. So if you've noticed Joy talking a little bit more about what's on Central Time or vice versa, or on the News and Classical Network, they talk a lot about All Things Considered in Morning Edition. There's a reason for that, which is those are our big morning and afternoon listening shows, and encouraging people to remember to put the radio on again is actually a big deal in helping us together. But most of all, I think it's just that the news is so darn fascinating lately.
John in Elkhorn is with us. Hi, John.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
I've been meaning to make this comment. I mean, every once in a while, somebody does call in, like the gentleman earlier in your show. And I think it's important to put in perspective the fact that WPR generally does put on a lot of fascinating guests from both sides of the spectrum politically. But unfortunately, a lot of people interpret that the people who call in generally, like myself, tend to be progressive and liberal. And because of that, the whole show gets a bent of, well, they're bashing the president or you know what I'm saying, so to speak. And I think it's more fair to say to the other side of the aisle or the conservatives that, you know what, call in more often, and you'll hear a show that appears to be more balanced, and you'll hear, hopefully, discussions that are worthwhile, you know.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for the thought, John. I honestly can't say that I know in any precise sense whether our listeners are more liberal or more conservative, that sort of thing. What we certainly do experience is that liberals are often disappointed that public radio isn't liberal enough, and conservatives disappointed that it's too liberal. And so what we are trying to aim for in that context is to be neither, to be just open to viewpoints, period. I'm glad to know our guests are doing well in your eyes, if not our callers. And so, yes, everybody, call in. You know, I really want people to participate. It's a remarkable thing that the Ideas Network is the great daily conversation of Wisconsin, and you're a part of it.
Yeah. We had somebody who said that we give the telephone number too often, or, you know, ways to contribute to the program. Well, people are coming and going all the time, so you want to be sure that that they know the number.
And don't forget, if it's someone who hasn't participated before,
yeah,
they haven't had the need for that phone number until that very moment. They haven't written it down like some of the regular callers, or even memorized it as some of the regular callers might have.
We had a listener who wrote in to say... He had a long question, but let me try to abbreviate it. Have Mike review WPR's governance related to how the public might have a greater role in selecting programming. This listener wants the public to have more of a say in what's on the air. How does the public do that?
Well, certainly the public in this context tells us what they think, and they by the very listening and reporting things in the diaries for the Nielsen ratings, that helps as well. But we are charged by policy, meaning we, the management of WPR, is charged with making those choices. And charged by who? Charged by the boards of the Educational Communications Board and the Board of Regents, and encouraged to be open to the public as we are. And that's the basic kind of governance structure there.
And this same listener wants to know the limits on call screeners to limit our freedom of speech.
Well, that's really interesting. The purpose of call screening is not to keep people off the air at all. I understand that people may feel that way. It's really just to help the caller to be focused, because we want to get a lot of people on and each exercise their free speech, as you say. And so they help them pick one question or one comment if possible. That's the idea.
We have just a minute to go, Mike. Any last words for our listeners? Anything that we haven't talked about that's new at Wisconsin Public Radio?
Well, I don't know that it's new, but I've just been very proud of the Wisconsin Remembers a Face for Every Name displays that have been traveling all over the state. It's an exhibit that shows the faces and names of all of the Wisconsin Vietnam War veterans that were lost in the war, and that includes the ones identified at higher ground here in Wisconsin and those on the Vietnam Wall in Washington, D.C. So look for that. It may be coming to your community, and we are very proud of having been participating in that, and they think of that as we head to a patriotic day tomorrow.
Thank you very much for being with us, Mike. Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.